The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is a show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, we have a fun show for you today. I have a returning guest for you here. This is a gentleman who is just very knowledgeable, has been doing real estate for a long time, and he was on episode 127 entitled Buying HUD Homes at Half Off, which aired around August 14th, and his name is Larry Goines. Larry has been investing in real estate for over 30 years. Previously, Larry served as president of the Metrolina Real Estate Investors Association in Charlotte, North Carolina. Or maybe it's Metrolina, huh? It's a nonprofit organization that has over 350 members and is the local chapter of the NREIA, or otherwise known as the National Real Estate Investors Association. Larry is an active real estate investor and travels throughout the U.S. He's doing things like speaking and training audiences at conventions, expos, and REI meetings as well. He talks about things like strategies for buying and selling houses. Larry's also written several books on real estate investing that are available wherever books are sold. Larry and his business associate, Candace, are also the host of the BRAG Radio Network. That's B-R-A-G. That stands for Be Rich and Generous. Larry also has a podcast on real estate investing called Brain Pick a Pro, where he interviews experts from real estate and gives his own expert advice as well. Besides speaking engagements and mentoring other investors, Larry oversees the daily operations of his investing business that wholesales properties, seller finances properties, and holds properties for investment. On a personal note, Larry and his wife Pam have two children, Linda and Noah. He also has a granddaughter, Ember, and grandson, Keegan. They are members of New River Community Church in Lake Wylie, South Carolina. And as a husband, father, businessman, and real estate investor, Larry holds true to his core values and moral integrity. His personal and business motto is people and principles before profits. Well, Larry, welcome back to the Old Dogs REI Network.
What's happening, buddy? How you been?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good here. You know, we got great weather in Southern Cal, although I know you guys, it's a little chillier back there in North Carolina, huh?
It is. And we finally got cold here. In fact, I was in the mountains. We have a little house up in the mountains. It's really kind of the foothills of the North Carolina mountains. Mm. But I was up there over Thanksgiving, and the power went out Friday night. And it's out for a little over 24 hours. Pretty wild, huh?
Yeah. And are you guys cold enough to get snow there?
Well, we had some freezing rain, which knocked some trees down, which messed up some power lines. Mm. So that's why it's out. But, you know, the good news was, is it warmed up the next day enough where even though the power was still out, we got outside, built a fire, and cooked over the fire. That was pretty cool.
Oh, that's pretty nice, man. That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, we had a good time. We enjoyed doing that.
That's great. Well, I love the mountains, and we have some not too far from where I live here, about an hour and a half drive up the hill, the Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear. It's the closest mountains we've got, but on the other side, we about 20 minutes from the beach. So it's all kinds of stuff down here too. But I don't think it's as beautiful as North Carolina. That's pretty beautiful country you got back there.
It really is.
Well, Larry, it is always a pleasure to have you on. And I think one of the things that I really like the best about having you on is that you really make real estate investing very clear for people. I think you simplify it. You make it, almost easier than it is, because you just have a really good grasp and understanding of it. And you've been doing it for so long. I brought you on today because I, really want to discuss an area that is, I get a lot of questions from listeners, people that read our blog and are familiar with what we do here at the Old Dogs REI Network. And there's a lot of folks that are some are literally living off of their Social Security. Some are, somewhat fixed incomes. Maybe they have, a pension or something, but, it's kind of tight and it's a little difficult to broaden out, and they want to get involved in real estate investing, but they don't really have that excess cash. And so I thought, maybe we could address, the most common question I get is when people say, hey, I'd love to be a real estate investor, but I just don't have the money to get started. And I thought, well, let's have Larry on here and let's see what he has to say about that, because I know you've been doing creative financing since day one. And I thought maybe you could share, maybe some tips here for those that want to get started but don't really have the funds to do so.
Absolutely. I would be glad to. First thing I want to address is you mentioned about a lot of people say they'd like to get started in real estate investing. Well, there's real estate as a business and there's real estate investing. Real estate as a business is buy, sell, buy, sell, buy, sell, generating a check for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 or more. And then there's real estate as an investment where you're going to buy and you're going to hold long term. And I'm going to share with you on today's episode many ways you can do both with none of your own cash.
God, that's great. Well, I know you do both, right? You're both, you're even day trading, which hopefully you'll talk about a little bit later too. So you're very active there, but you also have some properties that you're holding as well, right?
Absolutely. We hold properties. We hold notes. We have commercial properties. I've also owned Dollar General stores, Shoney's restaurants, mobile home parks. I've done land development. I've gone in and bought land, surveyed it, cleared, graded, graveled, and paved, and then built houses on the lots and sold the houses. So I've done just about everything in the last 30-plus years that I've done real estate. But I really focus on two main things. Number one is wholesaling, right? We wholesale properties. I call it real estate day trading. We get a property under contract for $100, and then we start marketing it. And we find a buyer or sell it to someone that's already on our buyer's list. And the day we have to close, we buy it and sell it the same day. I call it real estate day trading. In fact, I wrote a book that's available wherever books are sold called Getting Started in Real Estate Day Trading.
God, that's fascinating. And you do that without even seeing the house in person. Is that right?
That is true.
Now, how in the world, I mean, just out of curiosity, I mean, how in the world do you do that? Are you going the MLS or where are you finding these houses?
Well, you know, that right now is a really good question, because depending on how the market is, the market can turn. Like right now, we are in a seller's market, okay? There's many more buyers than there are properties. See, a few years ago, there was a lot of foreclosures. I was buying a lot of HUD houses, a lot of properties off the MLS. Right now, we have to market to make the phone ring. And we do direct mail. We do Facebook ads, pay-per-click ads, Craigslist ads. We have bandit signs. We have bird dogs. We have property locators out that are finding deals for us. So we have multiple ways to find deals. I'm a firm believer that I would rather have 10 ways to find one property than only one way to find 10.
I like that. So you've got a pretty steady deal flow coming in for the most part, right?
Yes, we do right now. We sure do.
That's great. And you talk about, you know, getting something under contract. Just out of curiosity, you know, just maybe breaking that down a little bit. What does that mean? You find somebody, they want to get rid of a home, for example, and what's usually the discussion on the phone, and how does that actually turn into a sale for you?
Well, that's a really good question, because I do actually buy all of my properties over the phone. I don't go look at them. Now, it doesn't mean someone's not going to go look at them. We're going to send someone out to look at them. But I do negotiate all of our properties over the phone. And you know, we might do 10 or 15 deals a month, something like that. But I do everything over the phone, and I don't go look at the properties. And usually in about 10 to 15 minutes, I can make an offer over the phone, and I know whether or not I'm going to get a deal right then. Sometimes I get a deal right then. Most of the times it's a 2 or 3 call type thing, because they either have to talk with a spouse or think about it, or, you know, talk with a relative or whatever. That's just the way it is, right? I do buy a lot of cheap houses. I mean, I buy a lot of houses for $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, and I only have invested $100 in those deals, and that's it. And then I turn around and sell them. Like, we did 2 deals this month already where I bought 2 houses from one seller for $9,000, $4,500 apiece. I sold each of those for $15,000 each. So we made $10,500 on those 2 houses from the same seller. So we made $20,000, $21,000. We made on 2 transactions from the same seller, and we had the properties literally sold within a week.
Gee whiz. So what's the $100? You know, because I kind of get, okay, you find somebody that has a need, you find a buyer, right, on the other end, and then you get sort of the markup between, right, the selling price and what the buyer pays for the house. Is that correct?
Right. Basically, it's a term called wholesaling. So I get the property under contract for say, $10,000. And then I go out and I market the property and I find a buyer to pay me $20,000, and I make the difference.
Gotcha. So your arrangement with that person is what? I'll find you a buyer for your home.
No.
Okay. So yeah. Maybe tell me a little bit about how that conversation is. Yeah.
If I was telling them I would find them a buyer, then I'm acting as an agent and I must be licensed. I am telling them I will buy their property, and I get their property under contract in my company name with $100 earnest money deposit. And then I have a buyer's list, or I start building my buyer's list and marketing the property, and I find a buyer to buy it from me. And then whenever the day comes that I have to buy the property, I buy it and sell it the same day. Now, typically, on those types of deals, when I'm dealing with an individual, not with HUD or the MLS, when I'm dealing with an individual, I'm basically going to assign my contract to my buyer. So that way, I don't have to pay 2 sets of closing costs. and I know we're getting a little deep here on some of this, but the bottom line is, with the right documentation and the right knowledge, you can buy and sell a house the same day and never have any more invested than $100.
Wow. I mean, that you've got to be definitely knowledgeable to do that, though. I mean, it doesn't sound like something somebody just right off the street could do. I mean, that seems like it would. You definitely, you know, need to ask the right questions and understand, you know, that this house doesn't have something critical wrong with it, or, you know, there's some other issues involved, right?
Yeah, well, we have a little script, and it's in the book, where we go through and we ask them how many bedrooms, how many baths, what's the condition of the house, you know, when was the last time the kitchen was updated, the last time the bath was updated, how old is the roof, central heating and air, you know, and that sort of thing. And then we're in front of our computer. I'm in front of my computer the whole time I'm on the phone with them, and I'm looking up the property. I'm driving the street on Google Maps, Street View. I'm looking it up to see what other similar houses have sold for on Zillow.com. Zillow.com is free, and it can show you what other houses have sold for in the area. So all I really do is talk to the seller, and I say, well, let's just see what other similar houses are selling for. And I pick the ones on the low end. I mean, I'm not being unrealistic with them. I pick the ones on the low end, and I tell them what other houses are selling for, and based on the amount of work there's needs, I tell them how much pay for it, and then we strike a deal. And then what I do, once they say, okay, I'll take it, or if, say, I call them the next day and they say, my wife and I talked about it, and we decided we'll take your offer, then what I do is I send a mobile notary service out to their house, wherever they live. I don't care if the house is in North Carolina, but they live in Dubuque, Iowa. I can have a mobile notary out there this afternoon to get the contract signed, and then we move forward toward closing.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing that you can do that. I mean, with technology, it makes it a lot easier to be able to at least do a pretty good assessment. Does your contract, though, allow for things that, you know, you can't really see necessarily? Should you buy something and you find out, oh my goodness, you know, this thing is sliding down a hillside or something?
Yeah, well, see, we're on the East Coast. I don't have to worry about that as much as you do. But
yeah, we've got earthquakes that'll move us into the ocean here.
Right. No, seriously, I really don't have any contingencies, because it's a $100 deposit, right? And I've already negotiated a deep, deep discount, right? And so if I have trouble selling the property, if I can't sell it, I just walk away and all I lose is $100. That's it. But it's very rare I have to walk away from a property.
Right. Wow. So it sounds real. I mean, also just real, you know, since you're not doing any rehab, I mean, you may be selling it to someone that does rehab it, but you're not. I mean, you're really just, you're just making the connection. And from that, you've got this great profit that sounds like you could do a few of those things in a week. You'd do really well. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Well, we probably average around $10,000 to $12,000 per deal. Now, sometimes we might buy one and we only make $5,000. Sometimes we'll buy a property and we'll make $20,000, but an average probably $10,000 to $12,000. But, I don't rehab the properties. Our buyers are either buyers who are going to fix it and flip it, or they're going to fix it and rent it out, or they're going to fix it and move into it, right? Those are our buyers. Now, sometimes we get properties from landlords. They're just tired landlords. They might own one or two or three properties, and they basically have tenants in them already. They're rented out. So we're going to just buy them and then turn around and sell them to another landlord that wants to acquire more properties.
Gotcha. Well, let's take a scenario, for example. You have somebody who, okay, they want to get started, and they just don't know really where to get started. If you had, let's say, somebody that came to you that, you maybe it's even a relative that's on Social Security, you know, they're older, and they're, really interested in getting started, and again, they don't have the funds, what advice would you give that person right off the cuff?
Quite frankly, the lowest barrier to entry and getting started is what we've been talking about, is wholesaling, right? It's gotcha. The lowest gotcha. Barrier to entry. And that's what my book, Getting Started in Real Estate Day Trading, talks all about. And if you'd like, I'll send you a digital copy and you can put it on your page and then people can download it right from your website. How about that?
That would be fantastic, Larry. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. I'll email you a digital copy of it and send it out to you, so that way you can share it with your listeners.
That would be great. That'd be great. Well, just, you know, again, you've just kind of taken this scenario. What would you say are sort of first steps? I mean, reading the book, maybe getting some education, definitely sounds like it'd be a good, smart first step. But then what does it look like in sort of moving into the first deals?
Well, the first thing you have to do is pick a market, right? And I suggest, I do everything virtually. I was virtual investing before the term virtual investing came along, right? I used to say I do all my business by phone, fax, FedEx, email, and internet. We don't even use FedEx or fax anymore, right? It's all digital signatures. And you don't even need FedEx anymore, right? Wow. Everything's done electronically. But the first thing you have to do is pick a market. And I tell people to pick a market, and I've got specific, you know, strategies that I use to pick a market. Like you're out in Southern California, you know, even though you live there, I mean, you're out there where the prices look like phone numbers. It's intimidating to somebody, especially brand new. Right. Mm-hmm. So I want somebody to pick a different market that's not a hot market, that's not a market where everything's on fire, where there's multiple bids that, you know, that are raising the price and, you know, and they have people fighting over the same deals. I would pick a market maybe in the South or the East or, you know, Southeast or Midwest or somewhere like that, you know, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, you know, some of those areas where you can find properties pretty cheap, because it's much easier to sell cheaper houses than it is very expensive houses, right? Because most of our buyers are cash buyers. And I've noticed whenever our sales prices get over $50,000, it's much more difficult to sell a property.
So what's kind of your key price point for your houses that you're looking at?
Well, I like to buy houses for $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and sell them for $20,000, $30,000,
$40,000, $50,000. Gotcha. Okay.
We buy a lot of properties that are $15,000, we'll sell them for $25,000 or $29,900, something like that. In fact, I just had some students here in my office going through some of our high-level training, and when they come to my office, I get all their marketing set up for them, and then when they go home, their phone starts ringing. And literally, now this doesn't happen often, okay? This is not normal, but the very first person that called from their direct mail, they bought two houses from that one person. One, they got under contract for $11,000. The other one, they got under contract for $15,000. They found a local boots on the ground person to go out and take pictures of the property. When they got the pictures back, they contacted me and I helped them renegotiate the deal. Well, I told them what to do. They renegotiate the deal down to $15,000 for both properties, $7,500 apiece. And now they're in the marketing stage. So they're marketing the properties to local landlords, local investors who want to buy cheap houses and rent them out.
Wow. So first question comes to mind here is, you talked about you set them up on a system so that they start getting these calls. What does that mean?
It just means that I help them get their marketing going, you know, build their seller's list, get in touch with the mail house, get their bandit signs ordered, get their phone numbers set up, get their CRM going, get their website set up. Now, you don't have to have all this stuff to get started. But these high-level clients, when they get to that level, they're going to invest some money in their business system. So, you know, they have a website, they have a CRM, you know, and really all you really need is a phone number and to get some direct mail going. And that's it. And then answer the phone.
And how many pieces do you have to mail out to really start getting a good response in terms of, you know, callbacks?
Well, direct mail typically as a general rule, direct mail has a 1% response rate. So if you mail out 1,000 and you get 1% response, that's 10, right? So, and you might have to talk to, 15 or 20, maybe even 30 people to get a deal, just depending on the list and the list criteria. And what we're typically mailing to, now there's a lot of different list criteria, and we go over this in the book as well, is there's a lot of list criteria like absentee owners. In other words, someone who owns a property, but they don't live in the property. Then there's probate, there's inherited, there's delinquent taxes, there's code violations. There's a lot of different types of lists that you can buy and then mail to those people. And most of those are, I shouldn't say most of them, but a lot of them don't want the property for some reason or another.
So it would be a more of a distress situation then is what you would sort of target in terms of picking the criteria for your list. Is that right?
That's exactly right. In fact, one of the lists that people have started marketing to now are people who have recently been arrested, right? They have a property that they don't live in, but they've recently been arrested. Maybe they have some kind of legal issues that they need to need to pay for legal fees to get them out of trouble or whatever. Those can be motivated sellers.
Wow. So you just kind of look at what kind of potential situations are out there that would want to sell probably sooner than later, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Now, how do you do your due diligence long distance like that?
Well, we do a lot of different things. Number one, we get pictures taken of the house inside and out, any repair areas, every room, all mechanical items, all four sides of the house, a street view both ways. We do a lot of different pictures, right? We probably get 50 to 100 pictures of every house, any outbuildings, all four sides of the house, all that stuff, right?
Now, how do you get those pictures from far away? Like,
well, there's a couple different services that you can use to have those taken, and it costs you probably about $40 to $45. There's WeGoLook.com. If you go to WeGoLook.com, they have people in just about every market that they can send out to go look at just about anything you want and take pictures of it for you for about $45.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Do you, while you're in that due diligence process, how do you find out, let's say, for example, if there are liens or other things like that on the property?
Well, we leave that up to the attorneys and title companies. I don't really deal with that at all. We leave that up to them.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, your system, it sounds, I mean, because it, you know, from what I've read, in terms of how quickly you make these transactions, do you automate your system, you know, make it so that there are, you know, you don't have to be as involved in the process?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I'm still pretty involved in the real estate business, but I also have people who help me. You can set up, like if you don't answer the phone call right away, you either want it to go to a voicemail or you want it to go to an answering service, right? We've used both. If you're generating leads online, you want to have a live answering service, because if they're looking online to sell their property and you don't reach them or they don't reach you right away, then you've got to be able to contact them back, or you got to have a live person, because they're going to go to the next person online, right? They're going to start scrolling or clicking more links or whatever. So if they're finding you online, you want to have a live answering service. What I've found out is if you're doing direct mail, it's cheaper to just have an answering a voicemail system, and then you can call them back.
Okay, gotcha. Now, if once you find a house and you wholesale it like this is what you call day trading, is that correct?
Right, exactly.
How quickly can you actually sell a house in this kind of process?
Well, it's usually about a 30-day process, sometimes a little bit longer, but usually about 30 to 45 days, let's say.
Okay, gotcha. And that's from initial contact to getting the person interested and then doing the necessary paperwork to be able to have that home sold, right? Does that also include the time to, let's say, find a buyer for that property?
Yes. Yeah. About 30 days for us to find a buyer, do our due diligence, find a buyer, get the buyer under contract, and then schedule the closing and then close the deal and get paid.
Gotcha. Well, let's say you've got an investor and they really want to do buy and hold. I mean, that might be they want to be able to just get those monthly rental checks and, or mailbox money, as we call it, right? Can they use these same techniques to try to find a property that they could take on? I mean, you used the example of somebody who maybe it was an investor who, wants to get rid of these rental properties. But they still have to come up with the cash to buy it, for example. What could they do? Maybe you could talk a little bit about the seller financing part of it. Could they, look at those potentially as something that maybe the seller will carry back and so they don't have to put all the money in up front?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that we teach our students how to do is if you're trying to buy a property at wholesale prices, right? Because when you're buying properties, you either need to have a really good discounted price or you need to either have really good terms. So I was negotiating a deal just last month where I needed to be around $65,000 cash price to be able to wholesale that property. Well, the seller was stuck on $82,000. They were stuck on $82,000. However, they didn't really need the money. So I talked to them about seller financing it. I said, well, how would you like to seller finance the property so you get a cash flow? It reduces your tax liability because they can take what's called the installment sale and they don't have to pay taxes on a lump sum sale since they didn't sell it for a lump sum amount. So they could take the installment sale, they get their price and they get interest on their money and they get get cash flow, right? Passive income. And so they sold me the house for $82,000, no money down. They financed it for 20 years at 5% interest. The payment was $541 a month. And I negotiated where my payment did not start for 90 days, right?
Wow.
So I ended up selling the property. All we did was go in there and clean it up. It was full of stuff. We cleaned it up and then we sold it for $99,900 with $18,000 down. So we collected the $18,000 and then our buyer started making payments to our seller.
God, that's great. What a great deal. Well, you say this like so easily. It sounds like you've been negotiating for a long time. And that's got to be a key strength for a person that does this well, wouldn't you say?
Well, I've always said that to be a good investor, you need to be a good negotiator. And that's why, like for my students, I record my calls and then I save them for the students to listen to be able to learn what we do and how we do it.
Oh, that's great. Why would you say negotiating is such a critical part of real estate investing?
Well, you need to be able to talk to people and communicate with people and to negotiate a discount. Like if somebody says, oh, well, there's no way I'll ever take that. Or, what do you got? You got to be crazy. You got to know how to come back to a person, right? You got to know what to say and how to say it to be able to negotiate, to be able to get deals, or you'll never get a deal. Or maybe you will every once in a while, but that'll be it.
Gotcha. So the more you can hone that skill, the more effective you're going to be just on the buy and sell transactions, right?
Absolutely.
So somebody starting off, for example, do you have folks that, for example, they say, okay, I don't have the cash, but if I can learn wholesaling, I can, you know, I can start to turn, you know, some houses, get some income in with that, you know, those lump sums that I'd receive. I can use those to purchase some of the rental properties. Do you have folks that kind of do like both? They're kind of, you know, building up their portfolio while they're, you know, wholesaling at the same time?
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely. We have a lot of people that, you know, they're wholesaling properties. They'll wholesale two, keep one. Wholesale two, keep one, for example.
That sounds like a great idea. And I'm here in California. There's not a lot in my neighborhood that I'm getting, like you said, the prices look like phone numbers. You know,
foreign phone numbers.
But I can do this any place in the country and still be able to have this business going on an ongoing basis. Is that correct?
That's exactly. In fact, that's the tagline of the book. How to buy and sell houses anywhere, you know, how to buy and sell houses on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That is amazing. Now, is your book pretty detailed in terms of providing this kind of information for folks?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there's in the book is included some forms and documents. You have to go to a website and log in to get the forms and documents and contracts and scripts and all that stuff. But there's a lot of stuff included with the book.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And now you obviously, you're talking about your students and people that you work with. You also provide training as well. Is that correct?
I sure do. I do have home study courses. And I used to travel and speak a lot, but I stay pretty close to home now. Just because I don't like to travel for business as much anymore. But we also have what we call a partner program. It's a high-level mentoring program where students pay $15,000, and then I work with them one-on-one. They come here to my office for a few days, and I get them jump-started, get their business up and running, and then work with them to help them close deals on a consistent basis.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. And are they doing the same type of thing, the day trading of properties?
Yes, they are. They're doing that, or some of them are already doing day trading and want to start doing seller financing, or they actually want to start scaling their business.
Now, are HUD homes still, is that still a good place to buy homes, or has that changed, you know, considering the market?
Well, you know, HUD homes is still a good source. The problem is there's just not near as many of them as there used to be.
Gotcha. Do you, for the most part, getting those types of, or being able to at least get a steady flow in a seller's market is a little tougher to get the properties that you would need to, you know, to fund this kind of business?
Yeah, there's just not near as many HUD houses as there used to be. So what we've done so we can still get some HUD houses is we've expanded out into multiple states.
I see. Okay, and that broadens your reach a little bit better then.
Right.
That's great. And someone, would they have to have, let's say, access to the MLS to do this kind of thing, or is it something? No,
not at all. No, that's not great. At all. Not at all. All HUD houses are at HUDHomeStore.com.
Ah, okay, great. Now, if someone gets started in this, let's say, okay, you've got to find a good list broker, you know, that's dependable. It'll provide me with good leads. Do you help your students in you know, picking, you know, the best list sources and also in the selection of their markets as well?
Absolutely, we do. In fact, there's a lot of good information in the book. Plus, any students that need help, we're here to help them.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, Larry, this has been fantastic. A lot of great information here for our listeners, and I think people can see how you can actually get started, even if you don't have the funds to do it, just by learning that thing called wholesaling and being able to do it well to generate the kind of cash so that you could go into rental properties or whatever you might want to in real estate investing, even commercial side. So I think there's some great information here, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks that are going to be clicking on that link in our show notes here for the free book. That's very generous of you. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I think it will be a great place for people to get started. Whether they have money or not, they can get started. Whether they have credit or not, they can get started there. And whether they have experience or not, they can get started right there. Just start from where you are right now and then grow from there.
That's great. Well, I'm sure there's some folks too that would love to find out more about you and what other things you're doing as well. What's sort of the best way for folks to find out about Larry Goines?
Yeah, the best place is to go to my website, LarryGoines.com. We have free webinars, we have free training, all kind of stuff, right?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Fantastic. Well, good. Larry, this has been fantastic. Good information, good stuff that I think people can take with them. And if, of course, they want to find out more, they can contact you or go to your website. I love that you have free training videos there. That's awesome. So people can pick up some more information there as well. Well, Larry, gosh, I can't thank you enough for being on. We do have a tradition here, of course, you know, because you were on the show before, but we'd love, you know, you're from North Carolina, got a lot of hound dogs out there, and I think you could give us another great closing hound dog howl. So,
well, I'm a little under the weather. I got a cold right now, but I'll try.
Oh, no. Okay, well, give it your best.
Oh, 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 oh.
Right. Oh, man. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to put you through that with a cold here, but hey.
It's okay. It's all good.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for having me. And guys, if you're out there listening, go out there and take some action. I don't care if you're on a fixed income, I don't care what your situation is. You can start from where you are right now. Get the book, download the forms, reach out to me if I can help you with anything.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Larry. And I also want to thank all you old dog listeners out there that for joining us today. I know there's a lot of other things you could be doing right now, but the fact that you've taken the time to join us means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. And please note everything we talked about here and some of the links that Larry mentioned, especially the free book, can be accessed in our detailed show notes on the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and look for the episode with Larry Goines. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.